The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
YCR Golden Valley, from Wall Street to your street.
Tune in on the go with our free app.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Jury selection begins Monday in a criminal case against former President Donald Trump related to payments to women made by his one-time lawyer during the 2016 election.
You know, jury selection is largely luck. It depends who you get.
Maryland's governor has announced a program to help the Port of Baltimore recover from the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Wes Moore says a new $12.5 million program announced Friday aims to prevent layoffs by enabling businesses to retain their workers until the port fully reopens. The program was created by executive order and authorized by emergency legislation the governor signed this past week. Moore says the state must do all it can to support the some 8,000 port workers whose jobs have been directly affected by the collapse of the bridge. George Williams reporting.
And this is SRN News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-620-8909. 800-620-8909. 800-620-8909. That's 800-620-8909.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where, for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
No! Come on, rise and shine. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? It's going to be a great year.
Turn all the lights on and kill the noise. The Biz 1440 presents the best 2 hours of economic news and commentary.
Is it safe?
It's the King Banyan Show.
This is a man.
Your source for penetrating economic insight, razor-sharp analysis, and unflinching universal thought.
The mind is aglow with whirling, transient nodes of thought.
Everything you need to maintain clarity and stay ahead of the economic curve. Now, here's Professor King Banyan.
Thank you. Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. It's been Inflation Saturday so far, and I want to narrow in on a specific part of the inflation story that actually I'm interested in this because if I just look at the raw number, it doesn't look like it's that big a problem, yet I kind of think it is. If I just looked at the inflation rate for medical care for the last 12 months and the CPI numbers that were released on Wednesday, it says it only went up 2.1% in the last year. And I'm like, boy, I got to tell you, that doesn't feel right to me. Kind of feels like it's been more than that. Lucky for us, we have someone here who's an expert in healthcare, who's a healthcare expert and is able to talk to us about medical inflation. He's Dean Clancy. He's a healthcare fellow for the Americans for Prosperity. And I don't know that I've had Dean on the show before. So if I have, I'm sorry I've forgotten, but welcome, Dean.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you. Look, let me start with something really small, but I want to get at sort of the way we think about the inflation problem. And it comes to me from a personal experience that I had and someone who I work with had. Okay, I'm kind of a right of center guy. My office mate, she's very much left of center. Not crazy, but she's a real left of center person. And we were talking about how difficult it was for us to get reimbursement from our medical care accounts, our reimbursement accounts that our employer, our state university, creates for us, for dentists, right? I go to the dentist. And they give me this card that I can use to pay the dentist that comes out of my pre-tax contribution to my medical account, right? This particular employer, this particular service provider, the service provider that manages the medical care, these pre-tax accounts, keeps sending me, I need more documentation. You shouldn't, basically treating me like I use my medical card, my medical insurance card, to go out and buy a six pack of Bud and a pack of smokes. I mean, I'm a little ticked off about this. So, Dean, you're in this field talking to lots of folks. Is there something going on in the way in which people get reimbursed through these savings these accounts that your employer keeps telling you, well, you can put pre-tax dollars here, and we'll give you this card, and you can just present it, and you can pay your deductible, and you can pay your dentist, and so forth? I mean, what's going on there?
Wow. Well, there's a lot going on there. The problem, I think, basically, in the scenario you're describing, is you got too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, it's your money. Your employer is helping you and doing it in a way that allows you to get a tax break for your medical expenses. That's great. But then you go to the dentist, and then you try to get reimbursed, and pretty soon you've got insurers and you know, basically paperwork and hurdles, and you're right, it's a real hassle. It shouldn't be that way. I don't know that everyone who has a workplace reimbursement account experiences that kind of hassle, but it's certainly a risk because there are so many people involved. And the whole reason that those reimbursement accounts exist in the first place is because of the way we tax, or rather don't tax, health benefits that we get through our employer. We have a healthcare system that's based on third parties, strangers helping pay, but there's a downside. There are strangers involved in our medical decisions.
Right. So Dean Clancy from Americans for Prosperity, the thing we wanted to talk about here is sort of, I mean, I got two parts of this. In the previous hour, we were talking about the inflation report, and there was a comment from Gene Sperling, an economic advisor to President Biden, talking about the things that the Biden administration is trying to do to reduce costs. And one of the things that gets cited is it comes around as often as the tides, where they're talking about prescription drug costs. What's going on there? I mean, I'll say, by the way, my card, if I use it to pay for prescription drugs, never gets challenged. I never have a problem with it. It's just the dentist. But anyway, I'll stop talking about my own personal issues.
Yeah.
what's going on with what's going on here in prescription drugs? And is the Biden administration actually doing anything to help reduce the cost of prescription drugs?
Well, they've pursued government price controls on prescription drugs. And it's true that some prescription drugs are very expensive. Most drugs are actually rather reasonable in their price because we have a robust competitive market for generics. That's the drugs that are off patent. 90% of our drug purchases, in fact, are generics. And that's a success story. But 10% are patented, you know, monopoly drugs, temporary monopolies, which can be very expensive. Often they're breakthrough drugs that people really want. And if your insurance doesn't really bring down the price for you, you're going to feel it. And a lot of people are very upset by the high price they have to pay out of pocket for their prescription drugs. And so because of that, there's political pressure. And Joe Biden has said, I've come to the rescue. I've imposed price controls on prescription drugs. He's done it in the Medicare program. But economists agree the result of a price control is two things. First, shortages. And second, a stifling of innovation. You're going to see fewer new cures in the future because, in effect, the price control increases the cost of research and development. It will be harder to get those breakthroughs in the future because of this government-imposed cost. And, by the way, economists agree across the spectrum. Even left-of-center economists agree it will happen. The only disagreement is how bad the negative effects will be. And
right.
Really what you should do, is, instead of government mandates and price controls, let's have more competition. Let's make it harder for the drug makers to play games and, in effect, prolong their patent monopolies. Let's get generic competition sooner. And, by the way, every market where we see two, three, four generics come in to compete against the innovator drug, prices crash. I mean, you see like 75, 80% decreases in prices because of competition.
All right. So, Dean, we've read stories. I've read stories. You certainly know them all about drug companies who will have a drug that's about to go off patent and find some way to reformulate it so that they can get a new patent for it or extend the patent they have. So, I mean, what's the in your mind? How do we battle that? Does there need to be reform of patent laws? What can happen here to sort of get things to the point where generics can compete more?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Just reform the patent laws. Congress can do this. There's really no problem in theory with it. It's just getting them to do it. You're right. The drug makers will reformulate, like, the dosage of the drug and then get a patent on that and, in effect, get a whole new patent and just extend it. They also will pay generics companies not to bring a competitor drug to market. That's called pay for delay. And these kinds of games should be banned. It should be you get your patent, you get your monopoly to help recoup your R&D costs, and then competition is going to kick in whether you like it or not. That's the way it should work, and Congress can fix that.
Do you see any bills traveling in the Congress right now that might address that particular problem?
Yeah, there are bills to end the pay for delay, bills to tighten up this problem of the patent, change the color of the pill patents, as we call them. But, you know, I don't know how likely the bills are to pass soon. It seems, though, as though the big drug companies, you know, have a lot of influence in Congress. But that's the solution. That's what we need to do. Can we go back to inflation for just a second?
Yeah, no, I absolutely. Let's go there.
Yeah, you started out making the very valid point that it looks like medical inflation isn't too bad right now. But in fact, medical inflation is chronic. It goes on even when there's no surge of inflation in the economy like what we've seen under President Biden. And in fact, the surge of general inflation has eclipsed medical inflation of late. But if you go back far enough, you realize that medical prices have really increased over time. It's because of that problem of third-party payment that we were talking about, you know, because you don't feel the price of the thing because someone else is paying it. You don't even ask the price. And as a result, basically you end up paying more. Everybody pays more. And this is going on year in, year out. Since the so-called Affordable Care Act was enacted in 2010, health insurance premiums have more than doubled. Meanwhile, it's got these terrible mandates that have changed insurance so that now the amount you have to pay out of pocket for a lot of people is tripled. It's gone up 60% on average. I mean, a $5,000 or $10,000 deductible is normal now, which is almost like not having health benefits. And it's getting harder to find a doctor or a facility that's in your health insurance plan's network. All of that is a result of misguided government mandates.
Yeah, and these mandates that are in place have driven up, I think, over time. I mean, if you just look at the general CPI numbers, right, and you go back to right. the 1980s, I saw your picture. My guess is we're not too far apart in age, so we were both young men back in the 80s. Right. And you might be a little younger than me, but the price of medical care, generally speaking, is increased fivefold as opposed to like a threefold increase in CPI generally. So there's no question that the prices of these goods, I mean, over time have gone up quite a bit, right? But at the same time, Dean, I wouldn't want to go back to 1980 and have the healthcare experiences we had back in the 1980s. I had a tooth out recently. That's why I'm focused on dentists. I had a tooth out recently. I can tell you, I've had two teeth out, and the experiences were 20 years apart, but light years apart in terms of the experience. This was nothing compared to what I dealt with 20 years ago. The question is always, how do we incorporate the fact that medical care is just getting better, right? I'm glad to be sick now rather than 20 years ago.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. I mean, the prices do go up, and the United States has the highest nominal prices for medical care of any country in the world. We also have this incredible story of medical progress.
Right.
And that does, you know, that kind of balances it a bit. Nevertheless, I think we could have the best of both worlds. We could continue to have progress and have lower prices if we had more competition. And we would get price transparency then. The key to it, going back to our third-party point, mm-hmm. is let the patient control the dollars in healthcare. Right now, in effect, they're not. But, you know, back in 1960, when we paid for healthcare, we would pay about half of it through insurance and about half of it out of pocket. Now it's about 90% through insurance. We only pay 10 cents on the dollar out of our own pocket. So we tend not to ask the price. Nobody knows the price. They can't tell you the price. It's crazy. It's the only industry in America where you don't routinely see the price before you have to pay for it. And I think if we did things like let every American have a tax-free health savings account where they would, you know, a little bit like the reimbursement account you were talking about, but this would be one you own. Your employer could put money in it, but it would be your money that you could take with you after you leave that job, and you could even save, invest it, build it up into a nest egg for future medical expenses. When you're controlling that money, you're going to be more likely to shop for value, to ask, hey, how much does this cost? Could I get a better price elsewhere? And so on. And then you begin to see the cost curve bend downward as market forces kick in. Another thing we need to do is fund patients, not insurance companies. Right now, all our government health care programs effectively are funding insurance companies and hoping some health care trickles onto you and me. Why not just let individuals control that money, decide what kind of health insurance they want, tailor it to their needs, and then what they don't spend on insurance, let them keep it in a tax-free HSA account.
Yeah, it sounds good. I want to talk about a couple of things you wrote about in an article that you had in The Hill last month that had some specific legislation that could get us toward the goal that you're talking about. But I need to sell some things first here. So we're going to take a break here. When we come right back, we're visiting with Dean Clancy from Americans for Prosperity, talking about medical health inflation and what can be done about it. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
They say every man must fall.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. BearingArms.com covers Second Amendment issues, self-defense, the latest gear, and more. That's BearingArms.com.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel, home to the biggest shows on TV, like Brandon Tatum weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, followed by Charlie Kirk at 7. Join SNC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
My name is John Richardson, and I am from Vadnais Heights, Minnesota. Well, there's a big hailstorm that came through the neighborhood, and my roof was severely damaged, and I knew I needed new shingles. Well, there were a lot of people who came through the neighborhood. Every 10 or 15 minutes, people would be knocking on my door saying they would help me repair the roof. JTR, I dealt with them before, and they immediately called me and said that they would meet with my insurance company, assess all the damage, and make sure that my roof was repaired properly. Within 2 days, they had the job finished. One of the things I noticed about the workers was that they, as they did the job, they would clean up and make sure that all the debris was picked up. I think the best part about JTR was when they took a look at my shingles and they made sure the insurance company knew that they were architectural shingles, not just your normal shingles on a house. JTR Roofing did everything and more that I asked them to do. They did a great job. Call them. They will come out and take care of everything you need, and they are really professional.
The Ramsey Show. You're not going to like my answer, Daryl.
Oh, boy.
Either your house sells or you cut bait. I never tell people to own two houses at once. One foot on the boat, one on the dock. The dock's leaving. Your butt's going to get wet.
The Ramsey Show.
Live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Thank you for listening today, spending this next segment as well as the last one with Dean Clancy. He is Senior Health Policy Fellow at Americans for Prosperity. Had an article in The Hill last month that had a reference to a couple of pieces of legislation that actually sounded really good to me. One of which is, and Dean, you've mentioned this already a couple of times. This is the Pete Sessions HR 3129, which is basically to give everybody an opportunity to have a health savings account of some kind that could be. So, is it a refundable tax credit? Tell us how this particular piece works and what advantages we would get from it.
Sure. You're describing the Health Care Fairness for All Act by Congressman
Yes.
Sessions. It's a wonderful bill. It promotes what we at Americans for Prosperity call a personal option approach to health reform. Instead of more government, let's shift more money and power to patients. And the way it does it is, first of all, it funds patients rather than insurance companies. It says, if you want, it's your option, you can take the money the government is currently spending to, you know, help you afford health insurance. And by the way, most Americans do receive a subsidy of some kind. Even people in the workplace are getting a tax break for health care. People on
Correct.
Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, they're getting money. Why not let you take that in the form of just a lump sum of cash that you can use for health insurance? And you pick the insurance. And you might get something that's a little different from what your employer can offer you, that's more suited to your family's needs. It could be less expensive. And then whatever you don't spend on insurance, you would put in a tax-free health savings account. So you're getting a tax break for the out-of-pocket expenses, you know, copays, deductibles, prescriptions, doctor appointments, you name it, as long as it's medical, and you can save and invest that. So it would be $4,000 for an adult and $2,000 for a child. So if you're a family of four with two kids, that's $12,000 every year from the government for you to buy health insurance and save for out-of-pocket medical expenses. And by the way, this would not bust the budget, because this would be in lieu of the subsidies that you would otherwise be eligible for. You would be, in effect, changing the form of the subsidy rather than the government just spending more money on you. And the result would be a lot more competition in the market, a lot more, prices would come down, quality would go up. Healthcare would become more like shopping on Amazon or at Walmart, and less like it is now, where it's just befuddling and you just never know what's going on, and you're always afraid of getting a big surprise bill.
Right. Hey,
so
hey,
in the Fairness for All Act.
Yeah, let me stop there a second. A couple questions. One, just by the by, I'm assuming that the moves that have been made lately to try to make hospitals and doctor's office post prices for services, that's something that you have been in favor of, because that seems to increase transparency. You got to know what the price of what you're buying is, right?
Absolutely. You have to have price transparency. We don't have it in healthcare. President Trump passed an executive order that said hospitals, you have to post your cash pay prices. If somebody's willing to just pay out of pocket, what would you charge? And a lot of hospitals have not been complying. They've been, you know, making their website so difficult to find or to interpret that it's kind of useless to consumers. But they're trying to crack down on that. Having this information will be very useful. The other side of the equation is the patient actually has to have the dollars to go shopping. And,
absolutely.
That's why they need that Pete Sessions bill with the amount of money that you would get, the lump sum, and the health savings account.
So I'm trying to figure out the mechanism by which the money gets generated. It sounds to me like we used to sort say all your health benefits, you know, mine is a number that's, you know, over $10,000 for my family. I know that because my employer provides me that number every year, right? You're saying that before that was tax-free, and what we're going to do is we're going to take the tax, we're going to say that that's no longer a tax-free number, that instead you're going to get this cash up front. Did I understand that right? Or what's the mechanism that pays for the Sessions bill?
Oh, you're not unreasonable, but you're not correct either.
Okay.
How it would work is, right now, if you get health benefits through your employer and you both get a tax break for that.
Yes.
You're getting a kind of hidden subsidy from the government. It can be worth many thousands of dollars a year, depends on your plan and so on. But under the Sessions bill, you could still do that. And nothing changes. If you like your health plan, you can keep your health plan. But if you want, you could say, you know what, I'll take this lump sum from the government instead. You can apply it at work. You could use it to, in effect, buy into your employer's work, health plan if you want. Or you could take it outside, buy insurance online, get something more tailored. Now, if your employer's plan is worth more than the amount of that lump sum that you're receiving, then yes, you would be taxed on that difference, the amount that's above that.
I see. Okay.
But only if you stayed with the employer's plan. And in some cases, it's not worth more, and you're at no risk of any kind of tax. But this is always in lieu of existing subsidies. So as a result, it's unlikely to be a really expensive reform. Like if you're on Medicaid, for example, which is health insurance for poor people through the government, that's a very expensive program. You get this lump sum, it's actually going to cost taxpayers less. We would save money, and you would end up with higher quality health care tailored to your needs.
Hmm. Okay, that's interesting. I'm going to have to learn more about that. The other one that's in this, and I've only got a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to make sure we talked about this other bill that you referenced in the article, the Access Act, by Greg, I may butcher the name, Greg Stube and Kat Kamek. which is basically which looks like it's a opportunity to give an HSA to as an option to folks of limited means, and which you say all which they say also saves $30 billion over a decade, which seems, I mean, it's like, well, that seems like a no-brainer. How does that work?
Well, it's a great idea, clever bill. Congressman Stubbe, and you pronounced it right, he's my own congressman. I live in Florida, and he came up with this. It's brilliant. You just let people who are receiving subsidies through Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, take a portion of those subsidies, convert it to cash, and put it in a health savings account. These are people who make, you know, are low income. And wow. They could then use that money for copays, deductibles, et cetera. And it wouldn't cost taxpayers a dime because you're simply converting an existing subsidy into a better form, a form where the patient controls the money. And the bill saves money because it also reforms the Obamacare subsidy in a way that everybody agrees needs to be done. There's just some waste in that subsidy. So you save $30 billion over 10 years. And so it's kind of a win-win-win kind of bill. I think Democrats, Republicans, Independents should all love the idea of Congressman Stubbe's Access Act.
Right. And regrettably, based on what you said in the previous segment, neither of these bills are seem like they're destined to actually become law this year, but they're good ideas for maybe for 2025?
That's exactly right. We're trying to build support for these ideas under the umbrella of give everybody more options, a personal option approach. And these two bills really promote that. And if we can get the right kind of folks elected in 2024, then I think you'll see bills like this, ideas like this, have a chance to get through in 25.
Great. Hey, Dean Clancy, a senior health policy fellow at Americans for Prosperity, thank you for sharing some time with us this morning. Really appreciate the insight, and hopefully we'll talk again soon down the road.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, take care. We'll be back after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
Are you retired and struggling financially? If you own your home, you could turn your home's equity into financial freedom. Hi, I'm Andrew Del Rey.
And I'm Todd Avakian with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. A reverse mortgage gives you the cash you need while you continue to live in your home. We recently helped an elderly man barely surviving on his Social Security income. Alone and facing foreclosure, he was afraid he'd end up on the streets.
But he had a lot of equity in his home. So he put the pieces together, cleared the challenges, and got his reverse mortgage funded before his foreclosure deadline. Now he's living comfortably and enjoying his golden years.
It was one of the most heartfelt experiences of our career. To find out if a reverse mortgage is right for you, give us a call. There's no obligation, just information. We're here to help make your life better. Call Sierra Pacific Mortgage at 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. Or visit us online at andrewandtodd.com.
Do you want to make a difference in your community? Volunteer with your local fire department. Operational and non-operational positions are available, and training is provided. Anyone can be a volunteer. You just need the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. When your community needs you, will you be there to answer the call? Learn more about volunteering at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
Dennis Prager here. Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, talk shows, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. Keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886. That tells Congress to pass the critical legislation. Or visit dependonam.com for more information. Message and data rates may apply, and you may text STOP to STOP.
Arby's Computer Service.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's computer service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own. Whether it's for your personal system or business, Arby's computer service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems a boot. Arby's Computer Service.
Welcome back. King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Every time I hear this song, I can think of like the first time I heard it on a, you know, it's interesting. It was on an AM radio station back in New Hampshire. I want to say, when did it first come out? 77, 78, somewhere like that. And I know the house I was in. It was the family home of my first wife. So about two blocks from the high school I attended. Anyways, thank you again to Dean Clancy from Americans for Prosperity for that conversation. Yeah, change happens slowly. I'm sympathetic to anything that increases individual freedom. It's sort of my default mode. It was my default. Was it 76? Okay, is to sort of say I'm for more freedom whenever we can. And I think the frustration is always figuring out how much control of Congress is held by folks like the pharmaceutical companies, like the medical insurers, and so forth that are probably frustrating a lot of the changes that Dean Clancy is looking for. There, I don't do a whole lot of politics, and I ventured a little bit into that in the intro to the show. As you might know, I used to be a state legislator I was there for one term, and I can tell you when they asked me which committees to choose from, I asked to not be part of two committees. I didn't want to do education finance because the education finance in Minnesota, the way they finance K-12 in this state is Byzantine. I'm telling you, I cannot track the dollars. I've never been able, and I've had help from many people to try to show me how it happens, I don't think I'm a dumb guy, but it's like it is really hard to figure out, you know, how that's funded. And then the other one is healthcare policy, particularly during that period that I was there, right after the passage of the Affordable Care Act. It was Wild West. We were all trying to figure out, well, what does that mean for this? What does that mean for that? And it was like, you know what? That makes my brain hurt. I wanted to focus on other things. I wanted to be particularly wanted to look at government budgeting and whether or not we could find better ways to do it. And the structure of state government, that was more interesting to me and place where I did most of my work. But that said, to think we are here, it is now 14 years later, and we're still trying to grapple with the outcomes from the Affordable Care Act. It's just weird that nothing seems to ever get fixed. 651-289-4477, number to call with questions and comments. Yes, that Boston album, 1976, huh? Okay, so that must have been, that's interesting. I graduated high school then the year before that came out. That'll tell you pretty much how old I am, which is fine. I don't care. It's out there. You can Google it. Let me go back to somewhat of the inflation story, but the broader things that are being said about the economy right now, because this inflation story, what you're hearing right now, is causing a lot of problem for folks that are supportive of the current administration. There was a really interesting interview on CNBC Thursday, I think, with Roger Altman. Roger Altman what worked initially, like right out of college. He went to work in the Carter administration as an undersecretary of the Treasury. He went back as deputy secretary. Deputy secretary is a higher ranking office. He went back there in 1993 in the Clinton administration, but because of some things, including Whitewater, he ended up leaving the Clinton White House in 1994. He is the longtime chair of Evercore, which he founded, which is an investment advisory firm, investment banking advisory firm. He created Evercore right after he left the Clinton White House and has done this now for approximately 30 years. Go read his wiki if you want. It's interesting. But he was on CNBC and talking about the economy, and I just found these comments interesting in a number of ways. Let's play this. This is cut number four. Cut four.
You can't ignore the data and the prints on inflation that are on the hot side. Looks like the PCE, which is the Fed's favorite metric, is going to come in around the mid threes when we next see it. And if you want immediate rate cuts, and a lot of them for 2024, that's a negative result.
And you'll notice that I'm remembering correctly, he and Larry Summers served together in those early days of the Clinton Treasury Department, run by Robert Rubin at the time. I think that's right. No, it wouldn't have been Rubin. It would have been, might have been Lloyd Benson. But anyway, the number that came in is in fact a negative. And as you heard, we played both Mary Daly and Susan Collins a day apart from each other, but both after the CPI report saying, hey, we can afford to be more patient. We can be more patient. As I pointed out, the CPI, the probabilities for a Fed cut in June now have fallen to being less, almost like 1 in 4. A 1 in 4 chance that there's going to be a drop in the Fed funds rate by the June meeting. There certainly won't be one in early May. We're getting to that point pretty soon, where they're going to be stop talking out in public. So that means that you'll hear is folks like a Roger Altman. My point is, he's part of that old-fashioned Democratic establishment, Carter, Clinton, and so forth. He certainly travels in those circles, but because of what happened in 94, he's not someone that will appear in a Democrat administration, which were it not for that, I'm almost positive the Biden administration would have brought him on board. Let me play some more of his observations. This is Roger Altman on Thursday on CNBC, cut five.
I think the bigger story is really the remarkable strength of the U.S. economy. It's just amazing. I looked this up before this afternoon's discussion with you. 6 months ago, just 6 months ago, a majority of economists thought the growth rate for this year, 2024, would be about 1.3%. Now they're seeing it as almost double that.
True. Myself included. I thought it'd be a 1 or actually less than 1%. I think if you went back to the archives of this show, go to TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com, look up the King Banyan Show, go back to January. I'm sure you can find me saying, even back in January, that I thought as late as January, the growth rate would be around 1%. Go back 3 months further, and I'm pretty sure I said it would be 0.5% to 1%. I now believe the entire year number will come in above 2%. because of changes that are happening. So I agree with Altman on this, but I'm interested in the why. And here's the this was why I pulled this clip. The why, I believe, comes next here. This should be cut six.
Since 2019, the U.S. economy in real terms has grown 8% through the pandemic and so forth. We're the only economy in the world that's now bigger than it was before the pandemic. Europe, wow, over that period has grown 3%. So, yes, I understand that the market, of course, is focused on the very short term and when the Fed will first cut, whether it'll be two cuts or three cuts in 2024 and so forth. If I were managing money, I'd be focused on that too. But I think the bigger story is the amazing resilience of the U.S. economy. That's why valuations are high and stocks, putting aside this week, are doing well.
And I hear a lot of people talking about the fall that happened this week and the fact that rates went up because, of course, the noise that's coming out of the Federal Reserve, the repricing of people of expectations on rate cuts happened pretty severely after the CPI report. That's all well and good, but it is important to recognize the U.S. economy has grown faster than most other economies. UK has certainly shrunk. The EU has actually grown, as he indicated. He said we only grew, in like 30 seconds later says the EU grew too, but by less. Okay, all those facts check out. And the why is super important. Let's play this last cut from Altman. This is cut seven.
I think, Brian, it goes way beyond the excess pandemic savings, although there still is apparently $300 to $400 billion of that in the pockets of or the bank accounts of upper income Americans. But look, our labor force has grown strongly, unlike the rest of the world. And you need that part of the supply side to grow if you as a whole are going to grow. That's a huge plus. Oil and gas production, as you said, after all, we're a net exporter. That's a plus. Productivity growth, labor productivity is up 1.6%, I think, over the last 2 years. That's impressive.
If you put the, and this is this, and I think this is the important piece to understand. If you say productivity growth is growing, which is true, okay, measured productivity is growing. If you add on the additional labor supply we talked about last week on Job Saturday, that may be coming in no small part from additional workers through immigration, legal and not. All of that should be pointing toward an inflation rate that is rapidly going back to 2%. And that's what the betting is. And yet, the CPI report this week says it didn't happen. So my response, I listened to this and I'm like, but you just named all the things that should have made the inflation rate slow down faster. We're talking about not cutting rates at all in 2024. I don't have her on recording here, but Christine Lagarde from the ECB was out on Thursday, and every indication is they're going to start cutting rates as soon as June, or maybe even sooner. And they've been very explicit about the fact you've got governors there saying, we're going to cut rates before the U.S. does. Okay? And that's no small thing. It's usually been central banks moving in lockstep. But I'm not sure how you can make the case that we're increasing labor supply, we have increasing productivity, but somehow we also have sticky inflation. Okay, and you can throw your hands up and say, well, it's greedflation, it's shrinkflation. I did the story about the Costco hot dog and so forth. You can put all that out there. But I think you have to conclude that there's something that's not really fitting here yet. And I'll just point out one more time, every economic story I told did not include a pandemic in it. And maybe there's something about a pandemic that makes things respond differently that people, including me, have not yet figured out. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a really hard time lately, and I'm worried no one will understand what I'm going through.
I feel so alone. I wish there was somebody I could talk to.
If you're looking for support, Mental Health Minnesota is here for you, with connections to others who have also struggled with their mental health and can provide support and resources. Services are anonymous, confidential, free of charge, and open 7 days a week. Connect today at mentalhealthmn.org or call 855-HERE-4-MN today. Sponsored by Mental Health Minnesota, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
The Ramsey Show.
Mama's going to be just fine when you die, financially speaking. I'm sure she'll cry. My wife is actually planning my death, and it's got me very concerned. Oh. My estate plan is predicating on me predeceasing her, and I don't know how she knows that.
The Biz 1440, weekdays 1 to 4.
What is dadication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Thank you for listening today. Hopefully you're able to get out and enjoy the weather. Should be a pretty glorious day today, and in fact, both days this weekend. So get out and enjoy it. I don't think next week's going to be quite so great, but it'll be fine. You'll enjoy it. You'll be out there. So I want to play one more clip for you. This is Larry Fink from BlackRock, the CEO, and he too was on CNBC talking about the state of the economy generally. Let's play this. This is cut 8.
I think 2 is a hard number. We have restructured how we frame our economic policy. We have $1 trillion of fiscal stimulus in the CHIPS Act, the Infrastructure Act, and the IRA. We have very poor legal immigration policies that have restricted, and that is all inflationary and jobs. And then the bigger issue is how we think about how we spend our incremental dollars. As we're spending a lot more money on services. So if you think about where service inflation is really the main culprit of high elevated inflation.
So that was his reaction to the inflation report. But one of the things he noted was 2% is going to be really hard. So it's pretty clear now, every one of the major banks in this country, their outlook is for elevated interest rates, inflation rates to stay higher for a significant period of time. And the response you get from folks like like, say, we played Gene Sperling in the last hour, we played Roger Altman in the most in the previous segment, is, hey, the economy is just great. It's just fantastic. One more little fact that I want to throw out at you that came in that I saw Thursday on a Twitter post was the largest office building in St. Louis, according to the Wall Street Journal, sold for $3.5 million. In 2006, it sold for $205 million. So the question is, and people are saying, well, what about the debt? Who took on the debt? Don't know. It's unlikely that the lender, if the person that bought the $3.5 million building, bought the building and put in $3.5 million, actually assumed $200 million in debt. That's an important story, and it makes the story very different. My guess is they took on some debt to help get the transaction. But the point is, they got to control an asset of significant value. Maybe not $200 million, but maybe it's $100 million. Maybe it's even $50 million. But they got to get that asset for about $3.5 million of their own money put into it. It is a large office building, right in this. I actually know right where this is. It's right in the center of St. Louis, which, as a city, has had, according to reports, the 66 of the 66 cities in North America, St. Louis Central Business District experienced the sharpest decline in foot traffic, according to the University of Toronto School of Cities. That is the kind of fact that I think we're not capturing as we try to do these projections based on data that are from the pre-pandemic time and trying to use that to forecast, well, if this is what happened in 1977 or this is what happened in 2008, this is therefore what's likely to happen in 2024. I'm just saying most of the models we have right now are trained on data that don't look anything like the world we live in now. And I find myself increasingly uncomfortable trying to provide people with forecasts based on those models. That's why you kind of have to know economic theory, and you have to sort of suss things out using something different than a statistical analysis. And that's what we try to do here. Hey, Spencer, thank you so much. Welcome to the show, Dylan, as well. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-240-4587. 800-240-4587. 800-240-4587. That's 800-240-4587.
My name is John Richardson, and I am from Vadnais Heights, Minnesota. Well, there's a big hailstorm that came through the neighborhood, and my roof was severely damaged, and I knew I needed new shingles. Well, there were a lot of people who came through the neighborhood. Every 10 or 15 minutes, people would be knocking on my door saying they would help me repair the roof. JTR, I had dealt with them before, and they immediately called me and said that they would meet with my insurance company, assess all the damage, and make sure that my roof was repaired properly. Within 2 days, they had the job finished. One of the things I noticed about the workers was that they, as they did the job, they would clean up and make sure that all the debris was picked up. I think the best part about JTR was when they took a look at my shingles and they made sure the insurance company knew that they were architectural shingles, not just your normal shingles on a house. JTR Roofing did everything and more that I asked them to do. They did a great job. Call them. They will come out and take care of everything you need, and they are really professional.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Sensible business talk for the...
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.